You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. If you're looking for some encouragement, words of hope, and maybe a laugh or two, that's exactly what Richard wants to share with you today. We know life can get pretty busy and complicated, so we're truly grateful you've chosen to take a break and listen to the program. Now, if you're not able to hang out with us for the entire program, you can always pick it back up at our website, richardellistalks.com. In fact, you can find all of Richard's talks right there waiting just for you, richardellistalks.com. So, with today's talk, here's Richard Ellis.
The message today is entitled Rockstar. I'm going to show you where the first rock star is in the Bible. Every once in a while in your life, you come up against some tremendous odds. You come up against a force, you come up against a person, you come up against an organization, you come up against just a situation in your life, and you say, you know what, we might as well just lay our arms down. We might as well just fold it, quit, because we can't win. We can't beat this. I'm not going to make it through this battle. Ever been somewhere like that? It's either your family, it's financial, a relationship, a job situation, maybe some legal proceeding in your life, and you think, you know what, God, I quit. I can't make it. Maybe it's staying sober. Maybe it's staying out of bankruptcy court. Who knows what it may be? And you just say, you know what? I just can't do this anymore. And somehow God comes along and says, you know what? You're exactly right. You can't, but I can. And there are things that I can do that are way outside and beyond you. But if you'll trust me to do what I can do and you'll do what I'm asking you to do, then this thing will get done. Now I'm going to read a little bit, quite a bit today. And there's nothing better to me. I can tell stories, but there's no stories better than the ones in the Bible. So I'm going to make some comments as we go through 1 Samuel 17. And I'm going to show you a situation where all the odds are against anybody beating this adversary. And because of who God is and what He can do and how He works through us. And I think this is important for you to remember. God can come out of nowhere and do something sometimes, but a lot of the time He works through you and He asks you to pray, to trust Him, but He asks you to do your part. He asks you to swing the bat. He asks you to do what you can do and then see what He can do. Now let's start with 17 verse 1. And he'll give you a little background here. It says, now the Philistines, these are some of the bad guys in the Old Testament who were against the good guys who are usually the people of Israel. They didn't always do the right thing, but they were God's people. And so he's on their side. So it says, the Philistines gathered their armies together to battle and were gathered at Succoth, which belongs to Judah. They encamped between Succoth and Azekah in Ephes Damim. Verse 2, and Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together, and they encamped in the valley of Elah and drew up in battle array against the Philistines. The Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side with a valley between them. And here's where it gets interesting. They're coming to battle each other. Verse 4, and a champion went out from the camp of the Philistines named Goliath, from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. Now this guy, if he were alive today, he'd be in the NBA. There's not a question. I mean, he stood over. This guy was over 9 feet tall. And we'll see here a description in a minute of his armor and all this stuff that he carried. His armor alone weighed about 125 pounds, just these things on him. This guy was a monster. Now, he's not the only guy. There's a whole army. But this guy is kind of cocky. He comes out there, and you'll see what he says and what he does. He went out from the camp of the Philistines, this guy named Goliath, over nine feet tall. He had a bronze helmet on his head, kind of a biker look for then, and he was armed with a coat of mail, kind of a metal mesh coat, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze, probably about 125 pounds, and he had bronze armor on his legs and a bronze javelin between his shoulders, and the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam. If you've ever seen weavers, they have this big beam they go through, and the woof and all these dog-sounding terms are used for weaving, anyhow. But he had this weaver's beam spear, and his iron spearhead weighed 600 shekels, and a shield bearer went before him. So this guy had all this stuff, and he even had a guy, his shield was so huge, this guy went out in front of him just carrying his shield till it was time to do battle. This guy goes out there, this big old lug goes out there, verse 8, he stood and cried out to the armies of Israel and said to them, why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine and you the servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. Pick one guy. And you'll see in a minute, this was day and night. Every morning he'd come out and all his paraphernalia, stomp out there and scream the same thing. The afternoon he'd do the same thing again. He says, pick one guy and let him come down to me. And here's the deal, verse 9. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us. Now they had been fighting, they had these battles every day. But he said, you know what, we'll settle it right here. Kill me, we'll serve you. I kill your guy you pick, you serve us, and it'll be over. We'll all go home. So this goes on every day, every day. Verse 10, and the Philistines said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now let me pause here and just say this. Sometimes we get so focused on our problems and on the people around us and the power they have and the situation, we forget who God is. You forget this God is the God that made everything. And every once in a while, I'll be watching some Nova show or whatever it is. And you know, you just got to go outside some night and look up. The more you look up and the more you look around, the more you see who this God is and what He's done to protect us and provide for us. The other day I was trying to explain to one of my daughters heat. She understood the sun made light, but how does it make heat? And the fact that we are close enough to the sun, in Texas we almost get burned alive, I understand that, but we're close enough to the sun to where it heats us enough to keep us warm and hot, but we're not far enough away to freeze to death. And God has put all this in motion. If this God can protect the planet, guys, if you are His child, He can take care of you. It doesn't matter who comes against you. It doesn't matter what they say. The book says that greater is He who is in us than he who's out there in the world. You don't have to be afraid. So he defies the people, and Saul and his army, says verse 11, were dismayed and greatly afraid. Verse 12, now David was the son of that Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse. His dad's name is Jesse, who had 8 sons, and the man was old, advanced in years in the days of Saul. Verse 13, the 3 oldest sons of Jesse had gone to follow Saul to the battle. The names of these 3 of the sons went out to battle were Eliab, the firstborn, next to him Abinadab, and the 3rd Shammah. What if you had to remember all those children's names? Anyhow, verse 14, David was the youngest, and the 3 oldest followed Saul. But David occasionally went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep in Bethlehem. David wanted to be near the battle. And the Philistine drew near and presented himself 40 days, morning and night. For 40 days, this giant comes out and mocks Israel and Saul and all their armies. Verse 17, then Jesse said to his son David, take now for your brothers an ephah of this dried grain and these 10 loaves and run to your brothers at the camp and carry these 10 cheeses to the captain of their 1,000 and see how your brothers are doing or fare and bring back news of them. Now Saul and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. So they're out there going at it. So David rose early in the morning, left the sheep with a keeper, and took the things and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the camp as the army was going out to the fight and shouting for the battle. And these guys, kind of a brave heart thing, they scream and go out into battle and just, you know, they're about to die maybe. They may not come back. They get all cranked up and scared and whatever they were. Verse 21, for Israel and the Philistines had drawn up in battle array, army against army. And David left his supplies in the hand of the supply keeper, ran to the army and came and greeted his brothers. Then as he talked with them, there was the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, coming up from the armies of the Philistines, and he spoke according to the same words. So David heard him. Now everybody else, if you go back over into verse 11, everybody else that had heard this guy all these days were dismayed and greatly afraid. But David shows up and hears him speak. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. They might fight, but they weren't getting near this guy. He'd take this weaver beams thing and start swinging it. He'd wipe them out. Verse 25, so the men of Israel said, have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel. And it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich with great riches. The king has promised anybody will take this for 40 days. It's been going on. And he says, Saul said, anybody will take Goliath on, this is what you'll get. Great riches. Give him his daughter. We hadn't seen the daughter yet, so you're not sure about that one. And give his father's house exemption from taxes in Israel. So he's going to get tax exempt. That's not bad. The daughter, if she's pretty, that'll be good. And he's going to get rich. But nobody'd bite even on that. Nobody'd get near this guy. Verse 26, then David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, What shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who? Now listen to David. Now this is a young guy, a shepherd boy. Listen to what he has to say about the situation. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of what? The living God. This is not just some army out here. We are God's people. This is the army of the living God. Who does he think he is? And you say, well, he's crazy. He's cocky. He didn't know what he's talking about. It's not about who David is. It's about the living God he knows. It's who's behind him. Verse 27, and the people answered him in this manner, saying, so shall it be done for the man who kills him. Now Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger was aroused against David, and he said, why did you come? What are you doing here? His big brother saying, what in the world are you doing here? Heard what he said. And with who'd you leave the sheep in the wilderness with? I know your pride and the insolence of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle. Now guys, I'm going to interject this here, and I want you to remember this. There are times in your life when you're going to be hit by giants, by enemies, by things that will come against you, and you will attempt to take a stand based on who God is and what His Word says, and somebody somewhere is going to say, are you crazy? You're not going to believe that stuff. Can't you see what you're up against? That ain't going to happen. Be realistic. Be logical. You say, well, is it bad to be logical? When God gives you a promise, if it goes against all logic and faith kicks in and you stand on that promise, let me tell you something. There's too many things in this book and in my life and yours to prove that sometimes logically what you see doesn't limit God at all in what He can do. So don't back down. Don't give up. Big brother here is saying, what are you doing up here? Now, this big brother, if he's so hot stuff, why wasn't he out there fighting this Philistine, taking the money, the wife, and the tax-free living? Verse 29, and David said, what have I done now? Sounds like a little brother, doesn't it? What have I done now? Is there not a cause? I mean, I'm not doing anything. There's a reason for me to say this and to be here. Then he turned from him toward another and said the same thing. Well, you know, what have I done? Isn't this the right thing to do, to take this guy on? And these people answered him as the first ones did. Now, when the words which David spoke were heard, they reported them to Saul. The king hears, there's a kid out here thinks he can take the Philistine. So Saul sends for him. Then David said to Saul, now he is in front of the king. And by the way, if you keep reading the Bible, you'll find out that he ends up replacing this king. David becomes the king after Saul. God's hand is lifted off of Saul and David is the man. David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Who? The Philistine, Goliath. Don't let any man's heart, don't be dismayed, don't be afraid, don't be discouraged because of him. Your servant will go and fight with the Philistine. I'm going to go fight him. And Saul said to David, now here we go again, big brother, now the king. You're not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. You're just a kid, David. Don't go out there. You're going to get killed. We're not going to let you go out there. But David said to Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth, and when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck it and killed it. This isn't the first idiot I've taken on. I've been fighting bears and lions my whole life. Now let me make a point about that. You're not going to be ready for battle when you get hit with a big one if you haven't been fighting all along the way. And David had spent his youth and his childhood, his lifetime in the backside of the wilderness with a bunch of sheep that he was responsible for protecting. And if you'll notice what it said there, it doesn't say that he would scare the lions and the bears away. He'd look up and see a lion or a bear with a lamb in its mouth. And he'd go grab it by the beard and get the lamb out of its mouth. I mean, this Philistine is nothing compared to that, he's basically saying. Your servant used to keep his father's sheep. I went out after it, struck it, caught it by the beard, struck it, and killed it. Verse 36, your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing. Now, what is it that's provoked him? A lion and a bear and some lambs, that's one thing. But what's gotten David going here is this in verse 36. I've killed lions and bears. He's like one of them, but he has defied the armies of the living God. I am not going to stand by and be humiliated by some uncircumcised Philistine. Verse 37, moreover, David said, now this is where you got to underline and remember, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the paw of the Philistine, basically is what he says, from the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said to David, go and the Lord be with you. So Saul, now look what happens. If you think there's no humor in the Bible, this is a great one to rent when you get to heaven at the Blockbuster in the sky. Verse 38, so Saul clothed David with his armor. Saul's this big guy, and he's got all this armor, and he put a bronze helmet on his head. He also clothed him with a coat of mail. David fastened his sword, the king's sword, to his armor and tried to walk. So here's David with all this junk on him. He had never had any armor on in his life. So he's walking around like one of these knights in shining armor kind of guys. He tried to walk, for he had not tested them. And then finally David said to Saul, I can't walk with these, for I've not tested them. So David took them off. Now let me throw this in here, guys. Be yourself. Don't be somebody else. Well, old so-and-so talks like this and fights like this and wears this and does that. You know what? There are people in our church that got tattoos all over their body. You know what? They become a Christian. They do the God thing. They get in this relationship with God. And then they start wearing turtlenecks and all these long-sleeve shirts trying to cover up. You know what? The tattoo may be the thing God uses more than anything you got. Because I walk into some situation with no tattoos, I look like some kind of outsider. You walk in, they go, wow, that's cool. Where, you know, where'd you get that? And they want to see your art, whatever. Instant rapport. And you have a background, maybe of drugs, alcohol, crime. I don't know what your deal is. And you're trying to hide all that. I'm not saying just get up on the box somewhere and tell the whole world, but there are situations where that's your weapon. That's the thing that people connect with and understand and relate to. And don't try to be like somebody else. David said, I can't wear all this junk. This isn't me. This isn't how I fight. And God made me this way. He's trained me this way. I feel comfortable this way. I'm going to let Him work in me and through me the way He made me, and I'm going to be myself. I'm going to go fight this guy my way and ask God to bless me. So he takes all this junk off. Then verse 40, then he took his staff in his hand. Now, what are you going to do with a staff? If you go back and read about Moses, he did a lot of things with a staff. Parting waters, turned to snakes, all kind of stuff. Then he took his staff in his hand, and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook, and he put them in a shepherd's bag in a pouch which he had, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. This guy's got a piece of wood, a staff, 5 rocks in this little pouch, and some little slingshot thing. Now you're laughing. You know why? Because the world does the same thing to you and I. Because the devil says, I got you whooped. I got you right where I want you. You don't have a chance. It's not just my army. It's me. Come on. Come on. What do you got? Well, I got a staff and some rocks. And you'll see in a minute what Goliath does. He laughed at him, disdained him. He didn't just laugh at him. He's making fun of his God. And you step out there today, and you're going to have people say, what God? Where's your God? Show me your God. You've never seen him, never talked to him. He never talked to you. He can't do anything. What are you, crazy? So David takes his staff. He takes his 5 stones, and he's about to become a rock star. He took his staff in his hand, verse 40, chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook. He put them in his pouch. He drew near the Philistine. So the Philistine came and began drawing near to David. And the man who bore the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him. You may have another different word there for disdain, belittled him. Started making snide remarks. And who do you think? What are you people thinking? For he was only a youth, ruddy and good looking, just some kid out there. So the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Do I look like a dog that you come out here with some stick gonna shoo me away? And begin to curse. And I've been around people like that they treat you bad and they talk to you bad. You know what? It doesn't matter. They don't know who you got. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. Come here, let's get this over with. I'll feed you to the animals, the birds. Then David said to the Philistine, now here's this little kid out here with a staff, 5 rocks, a slingshot, and whatever he had on. Then David, now listen to this, and again, if you underline your Bible, here's the ticket. David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, with a spear, with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. It's not me you've defied. I'm not out here on my own. I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. Now, guys, I highly recommend this. And I don't know whether you speak it out loud, but you better be praying before you go into the battle tomorrow morning to work. But you step in there, and I don't care who your boss is, what the situation is, what your family life is, you better pray and say, Father, I feel so alone, and I got nothing but what I got. But I got this, and I got you, and that's all I need. And I'm going out here in the name of the Lord of hosts, because I'm in the army of God. This day, verse 46, this day the Lord will deliver you into my hand. Let's talk about feeding who to who.
and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." Now he's stepping out on a limb here just a little bit. I mean, he better be sure God's going to do something, because he's out there going, "Now here's what's going to happen. Right, God? Okay, here we go." And he's not just saying, "I'm going to feed Goliath to the birds." He says, "I'm going to feed you and your whole army to the birds." Verse 47. "Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not..." Now guys, underline this, put a deal in your Bible, and when you get discouraged and afraid, you go back and read this. "And when this all happens, then all this assembly," everybody on our side and your side, "will know what? That the Lord does not save with sword and spear. For the battle is the Lord's, and He will give you into our hands." It's not your battle. It's not my battle. It is the Lord's battle. "So it was, when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, that David hurried and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine." Now that doesn't sound like somebody afraid to me. Bring it on. David put his hand in his bag. He's running, going out there, puts his hand in his bag, took out a stone, and he slung it and struck the Philistine in his forehead so that the stone sank into his forehead. This kid knew what he was doing. Sure shot, one stone. He took five just in case. Didn't need the other four. First shot, first try, this stone sinks into the forehead. He hit him right in the right spot, goes into the forehead of Goliath, and he fell on his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and struck the Philistine and killed him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood over the Philistine, took his sword, the Philistine's sword, and this part, you know, it's not suitable for children, but it's in the Bible, so we'll read it. Anyhow, he took his sword, drew it out of its sheath, and killed him, cut off his head with it. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they took off running. One guy goes down, the whole army says, "We're sunk, we're out of here." Now the deal was, they were supposed to serve him. What are they running from? "Now the men of Israel and Judah rose and shouted and pursued the Philistine as far as the entrance of the valley to the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell along the road to Shaaraim, even as far as Gath and Ekron. Then the children of Israel returned from chasing the Philistines, and they plundered their tents. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem, but he put his armor in his tent." His trophy was this guy's armor to remind him, you know what? It ain't about swords and shields and spears. It's about the Lord my God. "When Saul saw David going out against the Philistine, he said, 'Abner, the commander of the army, Abner, whose son is this youth?' And Abner said, 'As your soul lives, O king, I do not know.'" You know what? This kid was a nobody, but he would become the king of Israel. Nobody knew who he was. "So the king said, 'Inquire whose son this young man is.'" You know what? You don't have to be anybody. It's about who you know. That's what Christianity is about, who you know. And you know who you got to know? The Lord Jesus Christ. That's who you got to know. If you know the right person, you can get anything done in this planet. And you pray, "Father, not our will, but your will be done." And God has a plan, and you'll see it happen. "Then as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistines, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. And Saul said to him, 'Whose son are you, young man?' So David answered, 'I am the son of your servant Jesse, the Bethlehemite.'"
We'll get back to Richard in a moment to close out today's talk. But first, I want to share something about our program. Our mission is actually very simple, to take the planet. So it's our prayer that these daily talks from Richard aren't something you only hear and enjoy, but that they inspire you to share with others. Together, we can do this. The message of the gospel is something everyone needs to hear, and that's why it's such a priority to us. So join us in this important mission. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD to say you're in. Or you can get on board with us through our website, richardellistalks.com. Well, here's Richard with some closing thoughts for us.
It just so happens that David was a little shepherd boy in a town called Bethlehem. And you take it, roll it a few hundred years down the road, and another kid was born in a place called Bethlehem. And his name was Jesus. And he lived a perfect life, and he died a perfect sacrifice, and shed his blood, was buried, and raised from the dead, so we don't have to put up with this kind of garbage. And I'm not saying they can't attack us, and I'm not saying we won't have casualties in our lives, but guys, don't back down, because it's not you and me they're defying. It's the Lord our God. And you take a stand, and you say, "Father, this is all I got, but it's what I've got, and I'll use whatever you've given me, my skills, my talents, my gifts, for your good and your glory.
But you're going to have to do way above what I can do because this is all I can do. But I'm going to trust you and I'm going to watch and wait and see how you come through because you always have in the past. You promised you'd be here and you will in the future. So I'm not backing down. You say, well, these kids are cocky. No, they just know who their God is. And when you fought in the secret place, when you get out in the main place, it's not as hard. Don't be dismayed, as it says over in chapter 17, verse 11. Don't be dismayed and greatly afraid, because greater is He who is in us than he who's in the world.
Thanks for tuning in today to Richard Ellis Talks. With the busy schedule everyone has these days, it means the world to us that you would take this time to listen. Let us know how it has touched your heart by calling us at 855-6-RICHARD. You can also connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. One last thing, Richard Ellis Talks is a daily program, but also has daily costs. And being a listener-supported program means we rely on the financial partnership of our listeners, which means you. Maybe you've given to this ministry before or have waited for the right time. Well, we believe that these talks with Richard are making a difference in your life. So this is how you can make a difference to ours. You can contribute by giving us a call at 855-6-RICHARD or at our website, richardellistalks.com. Thank you for your very generous gifts. It truly means so much to us. God bless, and thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.